Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Hallelujah. And to them who are the called according to his purpose. You may be seated. They call Arkansas the land of opportunity, but I know people in Arkansas that are not doing very good. They call it the American dream, but I know some people that are living a nightmare. You got to qualify yourself for the opportunity. You got to qualify yourself for the dream. So many people, particularly those that are nonchalant, those that are novice to the kingdom of God, will isolate a little verse and make that their touchstone and do not embrace any of the qualifications to that verse. And then after a while, when it has not manifest in their life, their greatest epitaph is, it doesn't work. Oh, yes, God's word does work. But the Bible said their doubt or their lack of faith made the word of God of no effect. The word of God works, but you got to qualify. You got to qualify your own self that you can receive what God's word says. And so this is an amazing verse, and we charismatics love it. All things work together for good. We just love to take that phrase out. But there's some words before that, and there's some words after that. And when you eliminate the before and the after, that one phrase doesn't work too good. Friend, it is a blessing to be a child of God. It's a blessing to know no matter what's going on, it's going to work for my good. If I'll have a little endurance, if I'll show a little patience, if I won't let my praise slip away, if I won't let my gratitude disintegrate, if I won't quit doing what I got to get here, if I won't get weary of my accomplishments, all things will work together. But we have to qualify. There are three qualifiers in these two short verses. He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This is not talking to somebody on Broadway or somebody in Vegas that's living the heathen life. It's talking to the saints of the Most High God. I don't know how long you've been out of Catholicism. Some of you not too long. Some of you are still working the beads. Some of you are still concerned that somebody will send you to hell. So I don't know how long you've been out of Catholicism, but there is so many great things about the Catholic Church. I said this the other day to a Pentecostal. I thought he was going to have a seizure. I said, you know, I could. If I lived in a state and the only church there was Catholic, I said, I'd go there and worship. And they said, what? I'd go nowhere. I said, that's the difference between me and you. There's a lot of things I like about the Catholic Church. But one of the things that I don't really subscribe to is that you got to be dead to be a saint. Oh, I believe God's saint can be much alive. I don't believe that I'm preaching mostly to heathens tonight. I believe I'm talking mostly to saints. I believe most of you are saints of the Most High God. And, you know, before you can become a saint in the Catholic Church, there's a whole list of things you got to do. But to become a saint of the living God, there's not a list of things you've got to do. There is an embracing of things that he's already done. And that made me a saint of God. He covered me with his blood. He changed my nature. He caused me to be born again. He caused me to be filled with his Spirit. And so I've subscribed to the notion, to the concept, that I might not be Brother Teresa, but praise God, I'm a saint of Almighty God. Right. I heard a pastor here in the city When Mother Teresa died, he said, well, there's another lady in hell. Five people got up and walked out. I probably wouldn't have walked out if I'd been there, but I would have had to bite my lip. Because what a sacrifice this woman lived. But that wasn't the reason why she was a saint. The reason why you're a saint is not what you've done, but it's whose you are. That makes you a saint of the living God. And so the first qualifier is you must be a saint of the living God. You must have a relationship with God. Remember, foremost, Jesus put it above casting out devils and healing the sick and raising the dead and doing mighty works. He said, you got to have a relationship with me. He said, depart from me, because we never did have a relationship. We never were joined together. Do you have a relationship with the Lord? It's amazing how many good things will happen and how many bad things won't come to fruition just because you're in love with Jesus. And because you have a love for him and you know that he loves you, you have this relationship. Just that relationship with the Lord prevents so many negative, bad things that happen to other people that won't ever come to your door. So number one, you got to be a saint. And then he qualified it a little more. For those that love God, you got to have a love for God. I know there's a lot of people that claim to be Christians, but it doesn't seem like they have a real love for God. You say, well, you can't judge somebody's hearts. No, but it's easy to weigh somebody's actions. If somebody doesn't want to pray, somebody doesn't want to worship, somebody does not want to be in his house, and somebody doesn't have a kindred spirit with God's people, it's a pretty good barometer that they might not have the love for God that God would want them to have. Because if you have a love for somebody, you want to be around them. If you have a love for somebody, you're going to go by their house once in a while. You're going to call them up on the phone once in a while. If you have a love for God, prayer is not going to be a dose of castor oil that your mother made you take by holding your nose and pouring it down your throat. Prayer is going to be M&Ms that melt in your mouth and not in your hand. I mean, it's going to be candy to your spirit. You're going to say, I love to pray. You know, and learning how to pray is something that helps you develop a love for it. If you think you have to be in an uncomfortable posture, you might not love to pray. But when you realize that you can pray anywhere, you can pray anytime. You can be like the Apostle Paul. You can pray all the time without ceasing. When you realize that prayer is just communication with that one that you have a relationship with because you love him, prayer does not become a bitter pill that you have to swallow for better spiritual health. But praise God, it is a pleasant experience to talk to the Lord. And so he said, you got to be a saint of God for this verse to work. Number two, you got to love God. But now here's what I really want to talk about tonight, which I'm talking for the next few minutes about the purchasing power of his purpose. The purchasing power of his purpose. I love alliteration. And like I told Becky said, you use alliteration so much. I said, oh, I love it. And I also like words that start with the same letter. I love alliteration. So the purchasing power of his purpose, of his purpose. So he qualifies it by saying the saints, those that love God, and those that are called according to his purpose. So God wants us to qualify that he can be the God he wants to be. Some of you saw, I tweeted it, that prayer and fasting like's going on in this church right now is not to persuade God out of his reluctance. If you think you got God in a headlock and you're bumping his head, you got God's arm behind his back and you're going to pray and you're going to fast until you change God, you don't understand God. Because we never need to change God, because he's God and he's perfect. And he's God all the time. And he always has your best interest at heart. And he always wants to do what's best for you. So we're not trying to persuade God out of his reluctance by praying and fasting. We're laying a hand on the willingness of God. God's not willing that any should perish. That means he's willing that everybody should be saved. If he's not willing that people should not perish. Somebody told me this week that they'd been really sick. It's a pastor friend of mine. And he said, and I knew when he said, I thought we was pretty much on the same page theologically, but I realized we have a little difference. when he just made this one statement. You know, my ears try words like my tongue tries meat, the Bible said. And he said, I told God, he's got this sickness. He said, I told God, if you're going to make me sick, he said, don't make me sick on church nights. He said, let me be healthy on Wednesday and Sunday, and then you can make me sick, he said, the rest 5 days. I thought, I've been praying for it, brother. I believe I've been wasting my time. He thinks God made him sick. God don't make you sick. So we're not trying to persuade God out of his reluctance. We're laying a hand on the willingness of God. God wants me to be saved above all. God wants me to prosper. God wants me to be in divine health. God wants me to walk in love. God wants me to be in joy. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so he wants to qualify you that all things can work together for your good. That's the will of God. He said the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us according to the will of God. That's what happens if you're qualified. The Holy Ghost makes intercession for us according to the will of God. And the will of God is always good. The will of God is always good. Now, if you are carnally minded and if you're blind to spiritual things, you will misdiscern. That's probably not a word, but you'll misdiscern and not think, that's not going to be good for me. But friend, again, back to the patience. I promise you that God will never do anything in your life that's not going to be good for you. God's on your side. That's what we remember said, if it had not been for the Lord on our side. When you say the Lord's on our side, what that means is that the will of God is always going to benefit you in every sense of the word. And so he said, this is what I want to happen. He said, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us according to the will of God. He said, the Holy Ghost is working and he's interceding that the will of God can be accomplished in our life. I'm talking about what does it qualify us for? I talked to you about three qualifications we must have. Now, what does it qualify us for? That the Holy Spirit can make intercession for us. You know, somebody called me the other day and said, would you pray for me? I'm calling for the five most people I have the most confidence in to pray for me because I need a miracle. So I was on that list. I was complimented by that. But friend, I'm going to tell you what. No matter who you know, you might know T.D. Jakes personally. You might know John Hagee personally. You might know Kenneth Copeland personally. And those would be three good ones to have praying for you. But there ain't nobody like having the Holy Spirit make intercession for you. When you got the Holy Spirit, you know, Peter went through some real struggles. You remember that. He cursed, he denied, just made a fool of himself. But his failure couldn't last too long because Jesus had already said, I'm praying for you. When Jesus prays for you, when the Holy Spirit prays for you, you might fail, but you won't fail long. You might fall, but you'll get back up, praise God. And so the Lord is saying through his word here, he said, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will make intercession for you according to the will of God. And the second thing is so that all things can work together for our good. The Holy Spirit runs interference for us. You know, you see, I don't know how many football fans we got down there. It's just, you know, if you're a sports guy, it's just amazing. When you see, I tell you what, I like a run back. You know, when they kick that ball, it's down there on the 5-yard line, and that guy grabs that ball, and he runs the length of the football field. It's just amazing. 95 yards, and he runs it, and it's exciting. But that very seldom ever happens unless he's got some guys out there blocking, knocking people out of the way. Well, when the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit making intercession for us, that's what's happening. There's a lot of obstacles in your life. Now, some of these are people. Some of these are spirits. Some of these are circumstances. But the Holy Spirit runs interference for us. This is in the area of our circumstances. There's three areas here. And one of them is our circumstance, just the circumstance. But say, what is a circumstance? It might be that you're working a job and you just don't have quite the right diploma. And somebody else maybe is not saved, not as effective, not as good an employee as you, but they got a better diploma. They got a better education. They got a better degree. You know, the Holy Spirit has a way, even in all this computer technology we have, when they know exactly what kind of toothpaste you use every morning. They know everything about you now. And if they don't know it, you're stupid enough, you'll put it on Facebook so they will know it. You know, if you're going to be on Facebook, don't be truthful. Lie to people. Because that truth you're telling about yourself is really making you look bad. Exaggerate. Don't tell us how you really feel on Facebook. We had some confidence in you until you got too real on Facebook. One of the ladies standing right here one day, she's standing right here in the second pew, and I forgot how it come up, and I said, dude, you on Facebook? She said, no, I'm not on Facebook. I said, not. She said, I was when it first came out. But she said, everybody that I know on Facebook, I've got less respect for them now than I did when I first knew them after I saw them on Facebook. They just told too much. They just told too much. And so the Lord is on your side. The Holy Spirit is making intercession for you. And you have to realize that. But there are some circumstances. And those circumstances by themselves will not bless you. They will not edify you. They need a little adjusting. They need a little movement on them. Friend, I've got so much power in God that my God, I believe, is able to adjust the circumstance. Somebody might have a better education, a better degree than I have, but praise God, when the Holy Spirit's on my side, He can cause that boss to say, you know, I looked over your resume, and you've been here 2 years, and there's another lady, she's got a better education, she's really more qualified on paper, but there's just something about you. I've told you 1,000 times. More or less, that one of my favorite things is when people say, because I know a blessing's coming, when they say, I don't know why I'm doing this. Oh, I know why they're doing this. It's because all things work together for good. Because I'm a saint of God, I love God, and I'm called according to His purpose. And so the Holy Spirit, it works in the area of circumstance. The Holy Spirit can manipulate circumstance that man with his finite carnal mind will never understand. Number two, the Holy Spirit prevents evil spirits. The Holy Spirit is stronger than any evil spirit. It doesn't matter what evil spirit it is, the Holy Spirit is stronger. See, that's a whole realm that we don't live in. We're in fleshly bodies. But there's a spiritual realm out there where spirits fight one another. They jostle for position. And praise God, the Holy Spirit, He is the strongest of all the spirits. And so when you are a saint of God, and when you love God, and when you're called according to His purpose, the Holy Spirit is alive and in your life, and He can present those evil spirits. Because those evil spirits hate you just because you're a human being. And they particularly hate you because you're a child of God. And they really hate you because you are a praiser and you've taken their place forever. And so they despise you. And every evil thing is their intent for you. But praise God, the Holy Spirit can prevent that. I think it was Pastor Brandon said the other day when he was preaching it, we have no idea about the things that are prevented. Miracles that happen that we don't even know. Miracles because God stepped in and kept something from happening. And so the Holy Spirit prevents these evil spirits. The Bible said in Matthew 16:19, I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. What are you binding on earth? What are you binding on earth? Evil spirits. Evil spirits are bound on earth. Because of why? You're a saint of God. You didn't just decide to come to church. That's not what it means. Just, well, I go to church now. No, 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 no. You are a new creature. You're a different species. We get all upset about different races. Talk about racism. If they really knew what was going on, they'd be upset over species. We're not even the same species that a heathen is. We might look like it, but we're not even the same thing. The Bible said we got a new nature. The Bible said we're emulators of God. The Bible said we're new creatures. Why? Because you became a saint of God. A saint of God. You love God with all of your heart. And praise God, God's now on your side. The Holy Spirit prevents evil spirits. But it said, bind on earth. But it also said, loose in heaven. The Holy Spirit activates ministering spirits in your life. Not only does it prevent demon spirits, I'm talking about how all things work together. You know, we can take these verses and they're so profound and so deep we can make them real superficial. So, praise God, now everything's going to work together. And that night going home, you have two flat tires. So, well, I don't figure this out. I guess somebody's going to stop and give me $100 or something. It was going to work together. You get back to your car after you hitchhike down there and come back, somebody stole all four wheels. So, well, that didn't work together. I can't figure it out. We take these verses and make them very superficial, no qualification. And then finally just throw up our hands and say, well, it don't work. Oh, yes, it does. It's God's word. God's word cannot fail when the qualifications are met. So the Holy Spirit activates ministering spirits. I've always loved this verse. I've preached on it a lot when I was traveling, evangelizing a lot. Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. But to which of the angels said he at any time, set on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits? What's he talking? Ministering? What's he talking about? Angels? Are they not all angels, ministering spirits? But now here's the part that I love: sent forth to minister, but minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation. We're the heirs of salvation. He didn't say they're just going to minister to us and make us feel good. He said they're going to minister for us. That's even better than ministering to us, because that means they're out there doing things in our behalf. What are they doing? They're causing all things that are jumbled up and many times opposed to us, they're sorting them out. They're organizing them. They're pointing them in the right direction. They're eliminating. They're casting away. They're including. This has to be a part. I've got to get this put together. You know, Pastor Becky and Pastor Sean particularly, and I guess Pastor Randall, they like puzzles. They put puzzles together. And they don't do it any time except during holidays. They don't have time. But they put them big old puzzles out there, and thousands of people, pieces to those puzzles, put them out there in a big old, and I don't understand that. I find life too puzzling to buy a puzzle. And I find too many pieces missing in life to buy a puzzle. And then, according to the news reports, the Chinese nation, Red China, is not our friends. Those puzzles come from China. What keeps them from just keeping one piece back? I'm not a puzzle guy. But he said, all things, all pieces. Life is so puzzling. You just listen to movie stars, millionaires, politicians, successful businessmen, and they're just trying to figure out life. It's so puzzling. But not when all things work together. When all of a sudden, sometimes I'll stand and watch this puzzle, and they got a little piece in their hand, and I'll say, I bet that piece don't even go with that box. It don't look to me like it would. And after a while, Sean, you know, Sean, he's so cerebral. His mind is just unbelievable. Well, he put that in there. He just loves those. He loves anything that challenges him, you know. I said, that did go there. We're just like that in life. Something happens, and we'll say, that don't belong in our life. But if you'll just wait, that piece that you thought was so awkward, misshaped, misformed, wrong colored, it just didn't match up. If you wait a little farther when you get the rest of the puzzle, that's where that piece goes. All things work together. If you're qualified, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. But this is a problem for us, because we love the verse, but we don't like the qualifications. We don't necessarily want to be a saint. We want to be a human. We don't necessarily want to love God more than the world. We want to love the world. There's some qualification, and there's another part we don't like. It always requires two things: endurance and patience. And we don't like to endure. We like to throw up our hands and quit. I could just go in there. I tell you another reason I don't like for them playing puzzles. They play on our breakfast table. A breakfast table was not made for puzzles. It was made for toast and jelly and scrambled eggs, ham and bacon. And sometimes they don't get their puzzle finished. I go to bed and I get up in the morning, there's the puzzle half finished. What does it say? No breakfast today. We don't have a place to eat. But life can be puzzling. But once you really become a saint of God, once you love the Lord with all of your heart, you can endure. Because you'll say, I know how this is. And this ain't the way I like it now. But you don't know how many times I've been to the place of I don't like it now. I've been to the place of I don't like it now a million times in my life. But I've been to the place to where I like it better now. I like it fine now. This is real good now. But it wasn't yesterday or last month. But as the pieces come together, I say, thank God. Thank God. Thank God that I'm called of God. I'm a saint of God. Thank God that I love God with all of my heart. And so the Holy Spirit, it runs interference for you, and it takes care of those unclean demon spirits. It releases those angels. There's something else that it does which is vitally important. Vitally important. Let me just read the verse to you, and I'll get the phrase that is what I want to talk about. Give shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. All preachers love that. Talking about taking offerings. But here's the one I like. Shall men give into your bosom? The Holy Spirit will, and I like what it says, that men, I don't say, shall saints give into your bosom? Shall brothers give into your bosom? Shall the church give in? It just says men, just men. The Holy Spirit will motivate people in your behalf. I don't know anybody that's a better candidate and a better recipient of that verse. I've had so many blessings from people that cussed, people that smoked, chewed, dipped, drank, shot up, but I just developed a friendship with them. Just because somebody is not saved does not mean that I can't be their friend. There are lines, but I have a lot of people that, and they kid me, oh, preacher, I couldn't come to your church. But I notice when they get in trouble, they'll ask me something. They're always there. But I got a lot of people that's been a blessing in my life that are not Christians, but they're people. And you know what they've done? They've given into my bosom. You know why? Because that's just one of the pieces that God's hand is using to move around. And sometimes the saint of God don't have what I need. The saint of God don't have the authority I need. They're not in the role that I need. Their signature on a document won't help me. Sometimes I need the signature of a heathen. Sometimes I need the approval of a sinner. Sometimes I need the financial blessing of a heretic. And God said, I'm not disqualifying anybody from blessing you. He said, I'll use heretics. I'll use heathens, I'll use sinners, I'll use godlies, I'll use homosexuals, I'll use people 50 times divorced, I'll use cussers, I'll use gamblers, I'll use drug addicts, I'll use atheists, agnostics. He said, I will cause men to give into your bosom. Praise God. When you begin to understand where God has got you as a saint of God that loves him, and he is just set on all things working together for your good. Everybody, 7.5 billion people on this earth is a candidate for God to use to get something to you. And that's the reason why you don't want to discount people unnecessarily and get them out of your life. I've lived too long and done too many things where I've had just people come up out of the woodwork, just strange people. Say, preacher, sir, son, man, I feel like I need to do this for you. And they're not even godly people. And I always thank them for it. But secretly, after they're out of earshot, I'm praising God. Thank you, God, for using that heathen. Thank you, God, for using that agnostic. They don't know why they did it. They have no idea that they are a pawn in God's chess game of blessing me. Because God has his mindset to bless me in every possible way. The Holy Spirit will motivate people in your behalf. I've talked about those qualifiers, those the saints, those that love God and those that are called according to his purpose. Becoming a saint. Talk about that real briefly. You have to confess Christ. You know, there's another thing that we just don't talk about enough in church is repentance. That's just become an ugly word in the church. There's so many words. You know, I don't mind you changing the vernacular of the church to whatever you want it to be and make it cool and cutting edge. But you can't eliminate scripture words. You can eliminate all the church words you want to. But repentance is a mighty big scripture word. You don't want to eliminate that out of your life. Whoever sold the church, I heard one of the guys on TBN that he said, when you repent after you're saved, he said it embarrasses God. I don't know where that guy went to Bible school, but he needs to get his money back. Because I'm going to tell you what, repentance is not something for somebody just the moment they get saved. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. He understood the value of that, of just being able to shed it all. My old neighbor, when I was a kid, an old bachelor lived down there, he's always said, I need to get shed of that. I need to get shed of that. I don't know how you spell that, but anyway, I need to get shed of that. Well, friend, there's been so many times in my life I need to get shed of something. And there ain't no way to get shed of something except just being able to go to God and say, man, I'm sorry for what I did, sorry for what I said, sorry for where I was, and sorry for the way it turned out. Is there any chance we can get this behind us, under the blood, and go again? And you know what the Lord says? He never says, not a chance, not this time. He always says, yea and amen. God, when you repent, God will hear you every time. So you confess Christ. You repent. I'm talking about becoming a saint. So all things will start working together for you. And filled with the Spirit. Oh, it's just phenomenal when you get filled with God's Spirit. The Bible is just so replete with that in the New Testament about being filled with God's Spirit. There's no way that I can overemphasize the joy, the peace, the love, the power, the love of God, the Bible said. You say, oh, I just can't love by so-and-so. They're just abrasive to me. That's because you don't have enough of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible said the love of God shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can make you love unlovable people. Make you enjoy uncomfortable circumstance because you know what the end is going to be. Praise God. So get filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's a big one. Present your body as a living sacrifice. I'm talking about becoming a saint of God. Let's talk about loving God. I'm still talking about going back to the qualifications now. Qualified for this person where all things can work together. So the second one is loving God. What does that mean? Loving God. Affection for God. Well, I watch these people on TV with their dogs. You know, I've had dogs in my life. But I don't know that I'm a dog lover. Not like some people are. I don't like to kiss dogs in the mouth. Just don't like to do that. I saw this guy in Michigan kissed his dog in the mouth, and he got that virus in his body and lost some of his limbs and stuff. So if you kiss your dog, just look that story up. But people love their dogs, and I like dogs, and I like horses. I never had a monkey. I don't know if I like monkeys or not. I never had a zebra. They say they're kind of mean. I don't know. But I have a certain love for them. When we talk about a real love for God, an affection for God, I think that's a missing element in a lot of Christians' lives is an affection for God. If you love God, what is there to love? His word? If you find no affinity, have no affinity, if you find no absorption, no wanting to read, not wanting to hear, then you probably don't love his word. If the word became flesh and dwelt among us and you don't care about the word, you might want to reexamine how much do I love God. I'm still trying to qualify this verse so you can't blame God and say, well, everything's not working together for my good. Well, are you a saint? Do you love God? That means an affection for God.
The Bible says, setting your affections on things above. He said, how can you love me whom you have not seen when you can't stand your brother who you see every day at church? Boy, that guy just, I can't take him. God said, how can you love me whom you have not seen when you hate your brother? In fact, I did a little study on this one time. The Bible said it's impossible for a man, you know, a man, woman, a person, to stumble unless they hate their brother. So when you hear about people stumbling and they go into moral decay and they backslide and they fall away, before that happened, according to the Word of God, they had to hate the brethren before they could do that. There is a protection to keep you from stumbling if you love God's people, according to the Word of God. And so you say, I love God, but do you have an affection for God? Setting your affections on things above. Do you have an affinity for His presence? You know, people come to this church and it makes them nervous. I can promise you, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, this church does not make you nervous. Because the Spirit that's in you will identify with the Spirit that's in Brother Leslie, Brother Milton. That same Spirit will begin to identify. The Bible's talking about demon spirits and people falling, calls it familiar spirits. My question to people coming, is your spirit familiar with the spirit that's in me? So it makes me nervous. That's because you and I are two different spirits, sir. What's in me is not what's in you. It makes it nervous. Believe me, Judas was not comfortable in the presence of Jesus. And people that are not filled with God's Holy Spirit are not comfortable in a church where people are worshiping. You see, if you are to break out, and I've seen people do that, you break out right now and just get in a holy laughter, that doesn't make me uncomfortable. And if he, right beside you, started crying like a baby, neither one of those make me uncomfortable because it's the same spirit. Right. It's just a different manifestation of that same spirit. And so I'm comfortable with God's spirit, which attests to what? That you have an affection for God. You love God's presence. When David said, in His presence of fullness of joy, that's what he was talking about, an affinity for the presence. Say, oh, I just don't like it when people worship like that. There's something wrong. You know, one of my favorite things to do is when I find out that somebody has a nasty spirit against somebody else, is just to go up and brag on them. Say, hey, you know, Brother so-and-so, oh, yeah. He's one of the finest guys, and it'll make them so nervous and so aggravated. Right. And you know what they do? They walk off very quickly because you are expressing adulation against somebody that they don't feel comfortable with and don't like. And so when people come into the God's house and we're worshiping the Lord with open abandonment, we just don't care what people think. We're just worshiping the Lord. And they say, oh, I just wasn't comfortable there. Of course not. Because your pride and your flesh is your king, and we are worshiping the Spirit of God, and so the flesh becomes immediately uncomfortable in this. I'm talking about people that qualify for all things working together for good. And number three, this is the big part, and I'm out of time. I am out of time. Number three is according to His purpose. Because the truth is, we live our lives for our purpose instead of His purpose. When we live our lives for His purpose, it is the big qualifier for all things working together for our good. Because we're living for His purpose. Now, let me just break it down to me so you won't be offended. When I'm, and I've owned, I don't know, 20, 30 ranches by this time, maybe more. Buy and sell them. I love it. I love, my favorite day on a ranch is the day I buy it, the day I sell it. But I enjoy the in-between time too. When you know you're going to make some money, pretty good money sometimes, you really get affectionate. You, man, I love this place. I enjoy what I'm doing. But no matter how much I like it, and no matter how much I'm blessed, that's not His purpose. That's my purpose. And that's the reason why Pastor Brandon and I will never and ever have never, that to my knowledge, I can't recollect a time when we knew we were going to make a big horse deal and they wanted to do it on Wednesday night. I said, no, can't do it on Wednesday night. Well, we can do it Sunday morning. No, we can't do it Sunday morning.
Because we have our purpose. But we realize that our purpose always has to be secondary to His purpose. And if our purpose is not secondary to His purpose, all things are going to be a humble jumbled out there because they can't work together. They're just out there floating around and things are happening and they're not fitting together and they don't work together. A pastor called me a while ago and he said, I'm going to miss service tonight in my church. And I said, why are you doing that, brother? He said, I can save $800 if I go do so-and-so tonight. So he said, I just told my wife to take care of service. And I'm going to tell you what, I wouldn't sell this service I'm in right now for $800 or $8,000 because I'm working on His purpose. I'm working on His purpose. And I am convinced that if I work on His purpose, I won't make that $800. He'll be out there making $8,000. All things are working good. And that's the reason why. You don't realize, Tammy, you have no idea how I have to work on my spirit. Because I try to, Brother Mike, I try to be up here and edify the people that are here. But I'm really mad all the time because the people that should be here are not here. But I'm not going to take it out on you. I'm not mad because it doesn't serve my purpose. I'm mad for them because they've figured out something is more important than Wednesday. Something is more important than Sunday. Something is more important than prayer. Something is more important than fasting. Something is more important than singing on a worship team. Something is more important. You got to give Jerome credit. Surely this guy has got something else in life. Surely he's got something else in life to do. I'm just using him as one example that represents hundreds of people in this church. Surely the guy's got another life. But if he does, I don't know it. As far as I can tell, he lives to usher. He lives to be in the house of God. And he's got an amazing wife. He's got an amazing daughter. This guy has been blessed. I just believe it's because all things work together in Jerome's life. Because he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put His purpose above my purposes. And then the Bible teaches if we do that, all these things are working out there that you have no... See, I'm talking about the things that I can't control. I can't control whether somebody gets an appetite to buy a horse or decide they can't live without a ranch. I can't control that. Something has to make them say, man, I got to have that place for energy. I just got to have it. I had that place. I wanted $1,200,000 for it. I bought it years before and gave $290,000 for it, but now I want $1,200,000. A woman drove down the road, called me on her cell phone and said, how much you want for that place? I said, $1,200,000. She said, well, I was driving by and said, I heard a voice, and the voice said, buy that place from that pastor. Said, he didn't say how much. She said, I guess I'll just give you $1,200,000. I had $290,000 in it. And then she worked on her, she had a bank and her banker balked. I called my banker and he said, send her to me. And I didn't think that's going to work, just in the flesh. He called me back and said, this lady's got pretty good cash flow. I'm going to finance it for her. And you know what she wanted me to do at closing? She wanted me, usually when you close, they don't like the buyer and seller to be there at the same time because you can have a little friction erupt. But she insisted that we be there at the same time. And she insisted that she take the check and put it in my hand because she said this, I want to bless you. Oh, what happened? What happened? All things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Let me close this up. What Jesus calls His Father's business. His family got all upset and said, where were you? And He said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I have to be in church on Wednesday? Why are you calling my home? I've got a brother that calls me 5 minutes. On three or four times a week or a month, he'll call me 5 minutes on service time. Like he thinks I'm going to answer the phone and talk to him. I ain't going to talk to him. I got an appointment with God in 5 minutes. You think I want to get in a long conversation with you? Don't call me. Call me after church. He said, why did you seek me? Didn't you know I'm an usher at the church? Why did you seek me? Did you not know I'm on the worship team? Did you not know that I run the sound? Why are you calling me? He said, why sought ye? I must be about my Father's business. He said that to his own family.
That's like when they came over for Christmas. And they said, well, you got to be here. I said, don't you know? I go to church on Wednesdays. I go to church on Sundays. Don't you know? Don't you know that I am a saint of God? That I love God? And I'm called according to His purpose? Oh, yeah, I teach college. I'm a professor. But first, I'm called according to His purpose. Yeah, I'm a race car driver. I race cars when I can. But don't you know that I'm called according to His purpose? Don't you know that I'm the head janitor down at the hospital? But don't you know that before that, I'm called to His purpose? Don't you know that I buy ranches and sell horses? But don't you know that before that, I am called to His purpose? His purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, let me help you and not scold you. If you want the Holy Spirit working for you, if you want Jesus Christ working on heathens for you, if you want God the Father out there causing things to fall in place like a puzzle that you can't figure out, you've got to become a saint of God with all of your heart. You've got to love God more than you love the world. And you've got to say, my purpose is, oh, I love to golf, but not on Sunday morning, because His purpose is above that. Woo, ain't nothing like fly fishing. But, oh, I'd rather be in the house of God, because His purpose is above my purpose. And because of that, God's out there moving the pieces around. He's got demon spirits. Sometimes God didn't even say to the devil, don't do that. He said, go ahead and do that. That'd be great. Just go ahead and do that, devil. And then Joseph would say, oh, yeah. And what the devil meant for evil, the Lord turned to good. It's a pit. It's a prison. But it's really a palace. And we just need the devil to help us a little bit. Sometimes we need to let the Holy Spirit loose so He can manipulate the devil on our behalf. Sometimes we need to let the Holy Spirit loose so He can manipulate an unbeliever to give into our bosom, because you understand all things are supposed to be working together for your good, and you might not understand it momentarily, but you've got enough faith, enough confidence to endure and be patient and say, wait just a minute, I think I'll just sit down here and wait for God to get the pieces together, because I'm going to love the outcome, because it's going to be absolutely, positively fantastic, more than I can see, more than I can think, more than I can imagine, more than I can dream. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet. The purpose, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. His purpose. We ought to be trying to get people saved, bring them to church, talking to them, sharing with them, loving them. The church is His purpose. I know that the local church is criticized by lots of people, but the Bible teaches us that He loved it and that He sanctified it and cleansed it by the washing of His word, that He might present the church to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. The local church, it's God's venue for us to embrace His purpose. Esther was a queen, but that became secondary when she realized that she had come to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. Peter was a fisherman, but that became a secondary occupation when he realized that he was called to be a fisherman of men. Luke was a doctor, but it became secondary when he became an evangelist for Jesus Christ. Paul was a tent maker, but he became a church builder and a soul winner. We want to embrace. We want all things to work for our good. I want everything to work for my good. I want all things to work for your good. In order to that, we have to embrace His purpose. The Bible said about Christ, the zeal of thy house has eaten me up. He was consumed with it. What? Know you not, I must be about my Father's business. Why are you seeking me now? I can't let anything interfere with the zeal I have toward God's house, because God's house represents God's kingdom. Praise God. Can you lift your hands and give God some praise? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I believe there are some people in this building tonight that love God with all of your heart, saints of God. You're a saint of God and you love God. But if you're not very careful, you will let the purpose of our flesh become the first thing in our lives to the secondary thing in our life rather than his person. And when we do, we're on our own. Man, we're out there. Somebody said, I just couldn't make it. I had to get a third job. Let me just tell you right now, it is not God's will for you to have the third job and be away from your family and neglect your kids and them raising themselves and you not coming to church and serving God. It ain't the will of God. I'm telling you, if you will make his purpose first in your life, God will give you more money with one job or two jobs than he will with three jobs, because he knows how to move the pieces around. Somebody will sow and give into your bosom. If you're in this house right now and you say, I love the Lord and I serve the Lord and I'm a Christian, but Pastor, I'm struggling. I really am. I'm struggling to make ends meet. I'm struggling to keep my family together. I'm struggling for this and that. It's not the will of God for you to live, you know, with whatever's going on now. So many people are not going to get paid. And that's tough. Because many people, in fact, most people in America live from paycheck to paycheck. They don't have it. They don't have a cushion. You know, like if right now, if we didn't take a dime in for a year or two in this church, we could survive. Oh, it'd be tough, but we could survive. We had some cushion. I have a cushion in my life. God does not want you to live with a gun pointed at your head, whether it's a financial gun or whatever it is, just threatening you all the time. You need to get to that place to where things, you know what we call it? Fall in place. Things don't fall in place. In fact, there is a law at work to make sure they don't fall in place. They fall apart. They don't fall in place. You've got to become a saint of God that loves God with all of your heart and called according to his purpose, and then all things don't fall in place. They work together. If you're in this room tonight and you realize that you're struggling, there's a reason why you're struggling. You need to come to this altar and say, God, I'm making that commitment. I believe that I'm a saint of God already. I know that. I know I love you, but God, there's some reason that I am not putting your purpose above my purpose. And because of that, I'm struggling. And God, tonight I want to make a real confession, a real commitment, God, that your purpose will be first in my life so that you can get to work on taking care of me. There's nothing God likes better than taking care of his saints. I can tell you that right now. The Lord loves blessing you. If you're in this altar or in this auditorium tonight and you're having struggles in your life and you're fighting demon spirits, you ought to let the Holy Spirit fight those demon spirits for you. If you don't have angels attending you as errand runners, and things are just not working out, you need to come to this altar right now and say, Pastor, I want a new place in my life. I want what you're talking about, where all things work together, where people just want to bless me. Michelle Frazier, she's still in hospice and in care. Pray for her. She's just such a wonderful lady to me for so many years. But she used to just like to say, Pastor, I'd come in with a good report. She'd say, people just like to do what you want them to do. She's talking about heathens out there in title companies and places. It wasn't they wanted to do what I wanted to do. It's that God was moving them around. God was moving them around. There's some of you that need people moved around. Pastor Brandon was in a business deal the other day, and there was a person. And so at the first of the year, the guy that he needed called, and he said, you know that person there? They're no longer there. One of the people that used to work for me is in that position now. What happened? God moves somebody around. God's able to move some people around so that there won't be a blockade to your blessing. If you're in this room tonight and you need the blessing of God in your life, I'm getting ready to pray for these three here that get it. But if there's anybody else that wants me to pray for them, please make your way to this altar right now as Pastor Becky is singing. Praise God.